You're listening to The Broker's Terminal, a Mass Effect podcast. On this episode of The Broker's Terminal, Season 1, Episode 10, we discuss the possibility of a Mass Effect television show. Thank you for listening. This is The Broker's Terminal, a Mass Effect podcast. Hello. I used a different voice this time. And now everyone can hear me laughing about it. Lexi, hello. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really excited
for
this episode.
I'm also really excited to talk about the topic. Everyone already knows what it is. But before we jump into it, I do just want to check in with you. How would you feel about Henry Cavill portraying Commander Shepard in a Mass Effect TV show?
Absolutely fucking not.
Okay, so with that in mind, let's move on to the two-minute defense. Thanks for your insight. I'm sure we'll come back to that potentially later in this episode.
Absolutely.
Cool. I still don't have a sound effect for two-minute defense. So, guys, just pretend that there was one, like, hooray, two-minute defense.
if someone is a sound engineer and wants to make one, we'll pay you.
Yeah, please. I'm sure there are, like, royalty-free sounds I could use.
Probably.
I'm just lazy and forgetful. Cool. All right, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 names left. Really getting down to the nitty-gritty. Miranda Lawson is off the board. So Mass Effect gods. Your girl wants to get Liara, okay? So if you could not give Lexi Liara, that would be truly special. Unfortunately for me, Lexi goes first. So I'm going to spin the wheel, Lexi, and you know what to do.
Oh, yeah.
I think we are safe. Oh. All right, Lexi, you have 2 minutes to defend the one and only Samara.
Ooh, Samara the Justicar. So basically, you know, she's an elder matriarch Asari who's been part of the Justicar Order, which they have a very strict moral code and having to do what is just, which can involve, you know, killing bad people, so on and so forth. I really love morally rigid characters, especially women. You know, I think it provides a unique sort of conflict for them as characters because they're often presented with a complex situation in which they have to navigate that based on their code or, you know, their personal choice in the matter. But because Samara is so devoted to the code of the Justicars, you know, she feels a certain way. Means to obligate those those demands, and so, you know, she's often, you know, she devotes herself to Shepard's cause after Shepard helps her, assumedly with Morinth, who is her the funky Asari, Ardat Yakshi, the funky Asari who are purebred and apparently will you know, kill people by having sex, or mind melding. And, you know, I find it really poignant later in Mass Effect 3 when we get to see her at the Asari monastery where the other two daughters are living and have been taken over by the Reapers, and one of which is already becoming a Banshee. And if you don't Paragon interrupt her, she can kill herself. So I think it's really neat that she devotes her cause that far, that, you know, her point is done, that she would kill herself because she failed, you know, to save her other daughter. But it's really interesting to see that sort of moral fortitude versus personal desire, but also the way that Shepard interacts with her. Also, she should have been a full romance. Don't give me that extreme yearning for an older woman and then not let me be able to romance her. I'm upset about it, and that is my two-minute defense.
Did you say extreme yearning for an older woman? I've never experienced that in my life. no, but for real, that was great. I fully agree
with
you.
She's a fantastic character.
She is.
I mean, just the moral complexity and her whole demeanor and, you know, fun, you know, and I'm sure some of our listeners probably already know this, but it always throws me for a loop. So her face model is a woman named Rana McAneer, but her voice actress, I have to look up her exact name, 1 second. Her voice actress is Maggie Baird, who is Billie Eilish's mother.
Oh, yes, I knew that.
And I say that every so often. Like, I knew it. I've known this for a long time, but every time it kind of randomly comes up, it just like blows my mind. Like, oh, hey, that's Billie Eilish's mother.
Yeah.
But anyway, I really think they gave her some great direction in writing. Unfortunately, I wish they didn't have to have her titties out because that's not practical at all, but you know,
Maybe it's practical for her.
game
Who are
design.
we to judge?
She's not a
Adjust the
sentient
car.
character. She's not a sentient character. Let's.
All right, calm yourself down, Miss Miranda Lawson. I'm pretty sure you may have a academic paper on Miranda Lawson. No, I'm just kidding. No, but for sure. I mean, whatever. We can judge or not. She's a fictional character. I don't really care. Cool. All right. Let's see if today's the day. Can we go two for two on some Asari? If I was live streaming, I'd say let's get some hype in chat, but that's not
Get
happening.
that hype
So,
train going. Hype train in the minds of our listeners.
I'm gonna have to go another day. I thought I did. I didn't. I think I've talked about how much I like this character, but I don't think we've done the 2 minute defense. So I have 2 minutes to defend my girl Kasumi. Cool. So Kasumi is really great. I really like Kasumi. I think that she brings kind of like BioWare's version of a aside from Sam, a gamer nerd, if you will, like a STEM lady into the world of Mass Effect. And I think it's a shame, in my opinion, that she was a DLC character because she's funny, she's quirky, she's witty, she's very smart and fast-paced, and doesn't really give a shit what you have to say. She's kind of like, here's what I'm doing, and you can either help me this way or that way. Like with some of the other characters, like yeah, you need to do their loyalty missions, but like they're kind of like, you can if you want or not. Kasumi's like, no, we're doing this. And so I really like her. I think between her and Zaid, she's like my. Of the two of them, I like her stuff the best. Her mission is unconventional and more subdued, and I just really had a fun time with Kasumi. So, but yeah, I think that she, similar to the way that Sam brings like attractiveness to like nerdy girls, I think that Kasumi does that similarly. As I mentioned before, I like that she represents the technology side of things, and she, kind of gives you permission to be a little bit of a rogue. She's kind of a rogue, I would say, character, right? So she's kind of like, yeah, let's do this heist and be thieves and do it in a way that's fun and safe. And if we die, then at least we had fun dying. So I kind of wish that Kasumi and even Zaid, just I'm lumping them together, could have been romance options because I think they're very interesting, and that would have given them the opportunity to be fleshed out more. But, you know, we got what we got, and what we got was pretty dang good. That was my 2 minutes on Kasumi. Her
Yeah,
last name's Godo. I was like, what the hell is her last name? I got it at the end. Yeah. So there you go.
I will say, for DLC characters, I think Kasumi got more than Zaid. I think her loyalty mission is the funnest one in Mass Effect 2.
I
Like
agree.
I mean, you can tell that Patrick Weeks had a hand in writing a heist scene in there. But I think that it's really fun. It's honestly just a great James Bond spy movie, that kind of vibe. I love it. And on the one hand, I get that, she had this romance with Keiji and is still grieving that, so I can understand why they
Sure.
wouldn't have done it with her. But Zaid could have been, I think. Zaid could have been a good one for FemShep.
And also, there may be other characters that do this. I don't remember, but it stands out to me. I love that Kasumi calls Shepard Shep. I don't know if anybody else does it.
I don't think
But I love that
so.
she does it. And the other thing too, so most people who know me, certainly through my gaming, knows that I'm like a slut for sniping. I'll say it. But so I like to snipe a lot in Mass Effect. But once I got that, I don't even know what it's called, the submachine gun that you get from
The
Kasumi's mission.
locust, I
I yeah,
think.
the I believe you're right. I didn't use anything else my entire playthrough. I was like, is this a submachine gun? Great. So it was really, really just well-rounded mission, really, really fun. And the only suggestion I would have for the mission is if my Shep could wear a suit.
Yeah. Well, someone has the same
I know.
person who did
Did they
the
do one for that mission?
elusive. The elusive man suit for FemShep in Mass Effect 3 has now put it as an option for the Kasumi mission. So there you go.
Well, that may have to be a download in my future.
Yeah. Yeah, excellent. For sure. And, you know, like I said, I think if they just had a little more time, if they were main characters instead of DLC characters, I think they could have had some pretty interesting connections. I will say, though,
yeah,
I love that you can go to Kasumi and she'll banter about the person you're romancing.
Yes.
That, you know, she points out that Miranda smiles more now because of you and you're like, aw. Even though you realize, like, Kasumi's been spying on everybody in the ship. But hey, you know.
You know what? Smiling about somebody you like is a good thing. So It's good that she picked up on it.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So I meant to do this before we did 2-minute defense, but before we get started on our main topics, which, as you guys know, is going to be the prospect, has not been made official, but the prospect of a Mass Effect TV show. Lexi and I would like to remind everybody about our Patreon, which we are in the process of producing and creating more exclusive content for our Patreon, as well as our podcast. If you don't know already, is on now available on Apple Podcasts. So if you are somebody who prefers Apple Podcasts, you've been listening elsewhere, we are available on Apple Podcasts now. Did I say Apple the whole time? Did I say something else? Did I say Mass Effect Podcast?
You said Apple.
I did?
You
okay.
Said Apple.
I feel
did.
Like I say Mass like Effect Podcast a lot, but I was like, did I say Mass Effect Podcast instead of Apple Podcast? But
no, we finally got our technological issues sorted out there. So
I'm not Lexi, we can see each other. Lexi just saw me roll my eyes. I'm not going into it, but needless to say, there was just kind of like a derpy moment.
But
that
we got
lasted
we
for
got.
6 months.
We're team. Yeah, we're team. We figured it out. We have our strengths and weaknesses. It's all good.
Yeah, go team Brokers. Cool. So, all right. So moving into our topics. So first and foremost, the big news, I would say, alongside everything else that's come out since then. Amazon Video, what the hell is it called? Prime Video, whatever
Amazon,
it's called.
Amazon, yeah, Amazon Prime,
is pursuing a Mass Effect show. And there was not really a lot of specifics about it. In fact, the news came out in an article about another show, Wheel of Time, which there's lesbians in, so I'll be watching that soon. Can I say that? That's kind of how we found out, not we being Lexi and I, but like the world.
Everybody collectively.
Yeah. And then it kind of has just like spiraled from there. Spiral being the Mass Effect community has been up in arms about what a TV show should be like. So, Lexi, before we kind of jump into the do's and don'ts, which I have there at the bottom, but we're going to do that now. do you have anything aside from what I've mentioned about Amazon pursuing it that you want to make sure you add?
Well, I have many.
Well, we'll have many before opinions, the do's and don'ts, but just like, did I miss anything?
Oh, no, I think, let me just double check here.
Cackling, crackling of the keyboard.
Yes. I just want to pull up the article that came out just at the end of November there on the 23rd. They're quote-unquote nearing a deal to develop a series based on the Mass Effect games.
Right.
So EA and BioWare have not yet announced a series. There's been more than a few hints. Earlier this year, the project director for EA's remastered Legendary Edition told Business Insider that it's not a matter of if, but when a movie or TV show project appears relating to the game. And once again, bringing up my best friend, Henry Cavill here, he had an Instagram post back in February that seemed to allude to a Mass Effect script that he was reading while getting his makeup done for The Witcher.
I think it was earlier than February, but yeah, it was long before.
It said February, though.
Did
it? It was 42 weeks ago, yeah.
Oh. I thought it was at the end of 2020. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter when.
Anyway, time is fake.
Time is a weird soup.
So basically, they're saying who may want to add male Commander Shepard to his geeky resume along with Superman and Geralt. Geralt? I don't know. I've
it's
never
Geralt.
Played The Witcher. Geralt? Okay. The actor posted an easily deblurred image hinting at a secret project, and internet sleuths figured out that it was actually a printout of the Wikipedia entry for Mass Effect.
Okay, 3. They did confirm that.
They did confirm that. And you know, that's pretty much it so far. There's not really a whole lot, other than that supposedly that's what's happening. And especially with the renewed interest with the Legendary Edition, I mean, business-wise, they obviously know that there's interest. The Legendary Edition, as we've said before, sold way more than they anticipated. So it kind of comes hand in hand with that. But, you know, there's nothing to say what it'll be about. And that's the point of contention.
Sure. Well, with that being said, and who am I to not allow, if you will, Lexi to start this conversation? You guys are going to be hearing Lexi's voice for like the next 3 hours, so just prepare.
I've only got half a bottle of water, so I gotta pace myself.
Okay, cool. So let's. I'm gonna say generally, like, what are the do's and don'ts? Okay, so, but I'll let you decide how you want to organize it. If you want to like give your whole spiel, go ahead and give it. If you want to start with your, let's do it this way, I'll chime in with mine, and then we can move to everybody's favorite. Maybe what would Lexi and Rachel suggest they not do? So I'm going to let you organize it the way you want. I'll be here. I'll chime in as necessary. Have fun.
Okay.
See you guys later. Okay.
Yeah, I have free reigns. Okay. So I think the big thing, the big question to start off this whole thing with is, do they follow the original trilogy? Do they make it about Shepard? You know, or do they go out and beyond that? Do they connect to Andromeda? There's a lot to play with. Let's put that out there before I get into my opinions about each one and say that there's a big universe and they have a lot of playroom. I mean, look at, you know, I'm gonna point at Star Trek. If they just stopped and ended with the original series, we wouldn't have had great things like Deep Space Nine and Captain Janeway and nowadays with Discovery, and which I haven't watched, but anyway.
Wait, I'm gonna interject to say, Lapa, go ahead and take your shot for Lexi mentioning Janeway. I believe we're up to that being part of the drinking game. Continue.
So we have, you know, Star Trek has an expansive universe and that they've covered from a early timeline to, you know, progressively going into the future, right? So, and they have new captains and new series and all that. They have a great universe to play with. And, you know, not every Trekkie loves every series, but, you know, there's something for everyone. So with that in mind, you know, the big question is about Shepard. And about the trilogy, and is it going to be, you know, real action, live action? Oh Lord, great start. Live action, is it going to be animated? There's lots of questions that we don't have the answers to. So here's how I'm going to break it down. First of all, as for a don't, I don't want it to be about Shepard, and the reason being is that Mass Effect is a role-playing game that emphasizes player choice. They have emphasized the choice of what your Shepard looks like, and yes, they provide default Shepards, but that doesn't mean they're the canon. It just means that's the option for the people who are too lazy to make their own character. Second of all, it's a game that emphasizes your choices. Your choices have consequences. Your choices have, you know, repercussions. They have outcomes. And, you know, they really emphasize that with the endings of Mass Effect 3 that, you know, and some people will argue that, oh, well, they didn't make my other choices matter. Well, they kind of did, because it was still accumulating into a choice. You had a choice to make at the very end of the game that came back to weighing your other decisions you've made previously. Like, for example, whether you solved the Geth and Corian conflict, or if you cured the Genophage, or however you may have felt about that, would definitely have influenced your Shepard or your personal choice in ending. So when you're going to take a series, you know, with this big expansive universe and go, yeah, okay, let's do the main story, but now you have to make the decision of, okay, who's going to play Shepard? What is Shepard going to look like? What choices are we going to portray in this series? And when you do that, you're alienating your player base, because you have people that made all these hundreds of thousands of different choices through along the way. Now, I get it. You're not going to please everybody, because everybody's story is different. Rach and I have played Mass Effect very differently. You know, and with different Shepherds over the years. And so when you have all these choices available to you, and you decide that, you know, for this TV variation, whether it's a movie or a show, and you're just gonna pick these choices, you are basically canonizing something. You are making that choice to say, yeah, this is the choice we are going with, and it's going to alienate and other people's choices.
I think, if I could just interject for a second, I think the thing that comes to mind, first of all, a lot of our listeners have heard us talk about this in regards to the game. So it's not a secret. It should not be a secret that Lexi and I feel the same way about the video game, or the pregnancy brain, the television show. So we feel the same way as we do the game. We don't want Shepard to come back in the game. We don't want Shepard to be the main focus of the TV show. And I think just an illustration, you know, Lexi used the Geth Quarian quarrel, for lack of better terms, to illustrate the player choice. Honestly, like, for me, the big player choice that comes to mind for everybody is the ending. And if you make a TV show that's going to, like, come to a conclusion and they have to pick an ending, it's just so silly. It's just such a, like, you think about it, you're like, why would they do that? Like, even if 66 or whoever percent of people pick destroy, why, I still have no idea. I'm just kidding. Then, you know, it's kind of just like, you're also alienating, like, you know, the other, whatever math is, 40% ish of
33.
Yeah, thank you. 33% of people, who are picking the other things. There's just no point. You can tell so many Mass Effect stories without having to pick my ending for me. I've already picked the ending. Like, why would you...
that's, you know, like, that's the thing is why, and, you know, I'm going to speak to other video game, movies and things, is why so many, things don't work is because you're just trying to take your cutscenes from a video game and put them in a film format, and that doesn't work. It's boring. You are just rehashing cutscenes into a film script, but you're not having player choice or player input. And, you know, like, I'll say it. I mean, I have a whole shadow box on my wall from when I met the cast of Resident Evil Retribution years ago. That was 10 years ago recently. I feel old.
Time is a weird soup.
Time is weird. You know, I understand, like, they've taken characters from Capcom. Well, short story. Capcom didn't let Paul W.S. Anderson wanted to make, like, a from the game, like, replica movie. Capcom didn't let him, so he had to kind of write his own script, and he made this own character and then met his future wife and then just featured his hot wife in every film since. But, you know, I can't blame the man. Anyway, regardless of the character, you understand that, like, these games are in the same universe, they have the same zombies, and they have some of the other characters hand-plucked, like Wesker, Jill, you know, all these other familiar faces. But they don't follow the plot of the games. I mean, the first two games kind of take from some of the elements of the games, but they don't follow. So really, what you get, if you're not going to be a die-hard Resident Evil stan, is a fun six-movie set of action films with badass women kicking ass. Like, that's, they're not Oscar winners, let's be real, but they're fun movies. Aside from, out, like, they take features of the games, but they don't follow the plot of the games because they have a whole new main character. You know, and I mean, again, people are going to disagree with me, but they're fun, you know, sit back and what not think about things for a while movie, you know. And I think that can work in a way where you're not trying to just be a replica of the source material, because that's boring. You are just rehashing a game and putting it on the big screen. But I can do that if I were to just record all my cutscenes from a video game and loop them together on YouTube. And people do that. Like, when you play a game, you're playing for the experience and the cutscenes put together. So if you're just gonna watch a TV version of it, why not just play the game again? And I think, you know, you kind of mentioned that in one of the Discord chats we've gotten engaged with, I think it was in your server the other day, about, you know, marketing this, because I brought up the fact that I don't want Shepard cast as yet again another white man with stubble, because...
But why? I'm kidding. Oh my god.
You got me there for a second. I was about to be like...
Well, actually, just to, like, briefly sidebar, like, I think what that person in our server... was saying was not necessarily that he thinks that either. I think that mm-hmm. he also is like totally fine with it not being a man with a white man with stubble. But I think that that person was saying was playing devil's advocate in a way mm-hmm. where he doesn't necessarily buy into it, which I sometimes do. Of do you really have faith that it will change, though? I think that's where he was coming from.
Yeah, and I, you know, and I get that. And I think the thing is, though, is when you get productions that do take that step and break away from the mold, like, yeah, okay, canon default male shepherd looks like every other video game male protagonist with brown hair and a bit of gruff stubble and...
Just describe anyway. My husband. Amazing.
yeah, cast him for Shepherd. Anyway, but, you know, they fit into this mold of, like, these protagonists being the exact same cookie-cutter white bread model. And I think when you get a production that's not afraid to take that step in terms of representation, but also giving someone else a chance to be a big, as Zaid puts it, a big goddamn space hero.
Yeah.
You know, you get that chance to give someone gets a chance to look on screen and watch a show and go, wow, this person represents me. And again, humanity is very varied. You know, everybody has different identities, and that's fine. You're never going to, you know, make something for everyone in a single production, but you can also take the step forward and try. And going back to my point about this being a role-playing game, yes, again, we have these white defaults, which, by the way, is a whole other point about why white is default, but that's for another take. But, you know, you have the choice to make Shepherd whoever you want Shepherd to be. So right. If you're going to cast Shepherd, you have the choice
yes.
to make them whoever you want them to be.
For
like
sure.
you are not limited to make this bald-shaved Sheplu guy. You can make whoever be Shepherd if they, you know, it, like, again, if they're going to cast Shepherd, they need someone who's going to be able to be Shepherd. Again, like, I don't want them to, but if they're going to, they need to have someone that has that charisma. Dude Shep aside, who doesn't have they didn't give him great voice direction. I'll give Mark Meer that. Mark Meer's a great voice actor, but
yeah, he didn't have good direction.
But yeah. You need someone who's going to have that power on screen, and I'm sorry, Henry Cavill, but you don't.
Well,
you are a mediocre Superman. I don't trust you.
Well, he's a great Geralt, I will say. I've watched Witcher. He's very good with Geralt. Geralt is also a subdued character. That's like part right. of his thing. So it works. Yeah. It works for him. You know, I'll say the thing that people like don't want to hear. Maybe that's not true. I should give myself more credit. If the person who auditioned for the position, oh my God, redo. If the person who auditioned for the part, who auditioned the best, had the best on-screen charisma across a wide variety of people, ended up being a white person, great. If the correct person gets cast, phenomenal. I don't really care. I don't care because mm-hmm. I don't see it as like I need a white person to be my protagonist. I'm looking mm-hmm. at it. Is this the best person? Phenomenal.
Right.
This reminds me of sometimes, not all instances, I recognize that sometimes you need a character from that background to correctly portray a character. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I believe with voice acting, you can have somebody who's not of the same background provide the voice because they have mm-hmm. the talent to create the voice that the character needs.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, it's a hard sell for me to believe that the best person who had auditioned could only be a white person. Mm-hmm. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me
right.
in a game
and,
where
like,
you
that's,
can have
you
any
know,
shade of human.
Right, and that's the thing. Like, I know, you know, in some instances, you know, I know Jennifer Hale brought it up when she voiced Krem, who is a trans man.
Yes.
That she said, you know, if Krem comes back in the series, she has said it that she would prefer that a trans person got the role.
Sure, absolutely.
And she's 100% correct in that, and at least she acknowledges it. You know, especially with marginalized identities and getting more people involved. And I'll go back to our interview with Katie Townsend, where she said that, you know, more roles are coming out now that are looking specifically for LGBT people, non-binary people, trans people, like just trying to get more of an inclusive environment to give those people opportunity because, you know, and some people don't like to hear this, but there still is an imbalance
of
you know, marginalized folks, whatever their identity may be, whether it's a racialized issue, LGBTQ issue, like there's still folks who are getting not excluded, but not looked at because of their identity, especially if they're looked over.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's something that should be accounted for. And I mean, it's Amazon, so I don't have high hopes.
Yeah.
I don't really trust them to want to break the mold. That's not a production company I associate with groundtaking. What is that?
Groundbreaking.
Groundbreaking. Thank you. Groundbreaking things.
Yeah.
But you know, I think it's something that could be done so easily.
Yeah.
You know, and again, like I said, if God forbid, if they are going to do the trilogy story with Shepard involved, take a chance, do something risky. Like, don't, again, use the source material, but make it like, I mean, and I you know, I'll say it again. I mean, based on, you know, popular choices, but also like doing something risky, if you can find a healthy balance, I think that would make for entertaining television. But, you know, it'd be great to see a femme ship. And B, specifically probably a femme ship of color, because again, that would be great.
Yeah.
But also, you know, if you're gonna follow through with the romances, let her romance an alien. Don't, like, I, you know me. I love the human romances. Ash and Miranda, loves of my life. But make it something spicy. Like, get an alien romance in there that, you know, you can really play up the whole, you know, interspecies relationship.
The more that you say, the more it's like, how could they possibly do Shepard? Well, I know how
I
can do Shepard. But like, how could they possibly do Shepard? They can't. What are you going to pick?
No.
You're going to pick the romance. You know, I know this is going to be shocking for people, but I'm on the Liara boat until the day I die here. But like, there are plenty of people who don't ship Shepard and Liara. And like, so even if you're in the majority, seemingly, that would want a male Shepard to be the protagonist, but maybe you do romance Miranda instead, and then you have to now watch the show, and the main romance is Liara. Like, what satisfaction are you going to get out of that? Nothing.
Right. And that's, you know, and what are they going to do? Like, if it's a TV show, are they just going to start from the beginning and like each episode is one mission? Like, that's so stupid.
It's boring.
Doesn't make any sense. And like, what other stories are you going to continue? Because that's a very linear storyline.
Well,
and it just doesn't make a good format for a show.
Well, and the other thing I was going to ask you, I'm going to ask it, but answer it. Because I kind of have, I think I know what A, you would say, and B, I have an answer. I was going to say, well, maybe they do Shepard. Maybe they say, you know what, we want to make a canon Shepard for a TV show, kind of like for what you said, right? Like, we know what sells, but we want to be risky. Okay, let's show Shepard pre the games. Let's do a Shepard show about, oh my God, this child is kicking me in the abdomen. Let's do Shepard pre the games. At first, I was like, you know, I could maybe go for that. And the reason why is because we don't play those things. So I can separate, like, my gaming experience with my Shepard from, like, a show about Shepard. Whatever. But then I thought to myself, like, you know, you kind of choose Shepard's beginning anyway.
Yeah, you do.
And so my... Lexi was absolutely correct. Her and I have very different Shepard stories. And, like, so my Shepard story isn't... my Shepard start is not the same start as Lexi's. So if now we're watching a show and it's neither of our starts, or it's one of our starts, we're now not watching a show about our character still.
Right. Like, again, the background choice, whether they're Earthborn, Colonist, or Spacer, and then their three service histories of Torfan, the Elise, the Blitz, the Akuz, and the Blitz.
Yeah.
You know, those create how many ever possibilities with each one, right? So even then, that's still going to kind of alienate the player base. Maybe not so much because, as you said, it's not something
we play. It, right?
But it's still making a choice. It's still saying this Shepard is the one going through X and Z.
And like, it has consequences in the game. Like, there's things in the game that arise based on the type of origin you pick.
Exactly. And so... it's, again, it's just such a, I don't know how they're going to be able to do it in, you know, if it's a TV show, then how are they going to be make it episodic and still be entertaining? Like, that's another aspect of it, too, is that, and again, as I said, that's why so many video game adaptations fail, is because they don't make them entertaining out of the games. Like, when you take something, you know, that, like, and, you know, and I know some people are saying Arcane is not the same, however, listen. As someone who has never played League of Legends and as someone who will probably never ever play League of Legends, I don't care. I watched Arcane. I heard Shore Agdashloo was in it, and I was like, okay. And then I saw the purple and the pink gaze, and I was like, okay, all
it's
right,
red
all
and
right,
blue.
You got my attention.
Come on,
it's pink and blue. Leave her alone. She's got pink hair. You know, I went into it knowing nothing. The animation style was gorgeous, and I really got into it. And knowing nothing about the lore, I was entertained. Now that is something that any TV showrunner is going to want. They're going to want to reach a general audience and market the shit out of it and get them involved. But for those who play League of Legends, from what I've read, they're entertained by the idea of how these characters, like their backstories and how they've come to be and how that goes, you know, shaping their lore forward into the game. Now, I did read a tweet from the writer of that show that she didn't really pay attention to the game lore, but they wanted something that was consistent in the show. And I think that is going to be the ideal, because otherwise, if you're so nitpicky about, you know, things in the lore of the game, then how is that going to transcribe to a show medium well, you know? And that's the one thing that was pissing me off a little bit with some of the folks on Twitter and in Discord, that, you know, oh, Henry Cavill is a big nerd. Well, guess what, Henry? Most people play some kind of video game today. It doesn't make you special. It does not make you special, because any actor or actress can be given a copy of the game. They can sit down and read the Wikipedia. They can do their own research and still be just up to speed as much as he is.
Yeah, like, and we've talked to actors, Danny and Katie, you know,
mm-hmm.
both indicated, like, yeah, I knew very little about Mass Effect before I was signed on and I played the game. Danny romanced herself. And, you know, she learned about it. Now, I will say, I am going to defend Henry for Geralt, because he does do a really good job with Geralt. He's a huge Witcher fan. And fine, maybe that helped him. I get it. But, mm-hmm. like, I also am a huge Liara Tassoni fan, and that does not mean... And I could probably act if I put some time into it. I'm a big ham. Like, I could probably do it pretty well. And I'm obviously very humble. And but it doesn't mean I could be Liara Tassoni. That's, like, ridiculous.
Right.
So just because you played Commander Shepard, it worked out for Geralt. Congratulations. It doesn't mean it'll work out for Shep.
Yeah, but, and like I said, I can't comment because I've never played The Witcher, so I have no background about that. But I will say, you know, one of my friends told me that the Reddit subs for The Witcher are, like, losing their little minds about Henry possibly being cast in Mass Effect. And it's like, just because he's a nerd doesn't mean that he's the best one for the job.
If he, like, Lexi, but as we tie this up, just so we can get to the other topics, I do want to talk about, I'm going to do my little mm-hmm. very short speech on, like, what I would like to see, like, what I think a do would be. You kind of mentioned it already. But just to wrap the Henry Cavill conversation up, if he could play any character in a Mass Effect adaptation, where do you think he'd fit in?
Conrad Werner.
Perfect.
Okay. I want him to be the wannabe Shepard. That's
I think
it.
That,
that's
and
all
I think
you get.
That's great. And the thing about Henry Cavill is that I think he would do it. I think he would happily be like, that's mm-hmm. hilarious. Let's go. And so that's why I do want to give him credit there, because I don't think he's, like, this full of himself dude who, like, I'm a gamer, I get all the gamer roles. I think that he respects games and would want the right person to be mm-hmm. cast. And it's like the internet making it like Henry is the only one who can do this. So before we move on, Lexi and I just called you Henry. Lexi and I want to Lexi and I want to talk about, like, which actors both new to the games, like Henry, or new to the series rather, like Henry, but also actors who have previously been part of Mass Effect are interested. The one thing that I want to add to the do's and don'ts, which Lexi has beautifully kind of, like, illustrated and addressed, sort of what my don'ts would be and a couple of do's. How many times can I say do before I start laughing? Because I'm immature. I would say the one thing that I would really, really, really want to see above all else would be an animated show. Like, I think that it would just be so much better animated. You can bring in these actors who are already established as voices that we're familiar with, regardless of if they do Shepard's story or not. Like, shockingly, as we've discussed with Mass Effect Next, you could totally do something 300 years in the future and Liara would still be alive, like, mm-hmm. you know, or 100 years in the past and Liara would be a little baby, which, oh my gosh, I need that immediately. That's like my one thing is I would just really like to see Amazon do an animated show. We know that they're capable of doing animated shows. They have the Critical Role Vox Machina show coming out in February. And that's all animated. They have their voice actors, you know, portraying their roles. So they're totally capable of doing it. And then, So as we move into like the last topic-ish, who stands out to you, Lexi? I know that we're probably going to be shocked. Who stands out to you as people who have shown interest thus far in potentially returning for a Mass Effect TV show?
So there's two. Main ones being... trying to find the article on
Keith.
The screen. Keith David. I always want to say David Keith. I'm like, wait, that's not right. David
Keith.
Well,
when you've got two first names, you know.
Right? Yeah. Anyway, Keith David, who plays Admiral Anderson, has expressed interest to star in the project. There's an article out here that he has... he'd love to return to the Normandy and its crew. He just said, oh no, I would just want to be there and do anything that they set up. I just want to be there. So he's got some interest. Additionally on that, former lead writer Drew Karpyshyn and the composer Sam Hulock have also expressed interest in coming aboard. If we get Sam Hulock aboard, his music, fantastic. Drew's writing, which by the way, I did want to add a quick another do that I would love.
Sure.
Is Mass Effect novels. I think, you know, Anderson's story with Saren, Kaylee Sanders, and Kai Leng would be a great tie-in to explain that and put that on screen. I have the books. I've read that one. Great novel. That could be fun. And I mean, you know, I know Anderson's supposed to be younger, but just put Keith David in some younger makeup. It's fine.
I think most people, I think the way that they like built his complexion and stuff, he looks older than he is. So it would be fine.
Yeah. He's like 49 in Mass Effect 3 anyway. So whatever.
It's fine.
And then also additionally, my favorite, Shore Eggdashlu has also spoken out about a Mass Effect return where she said, yes, absolutely. So they just wrapped up The Expanse after 6 seasons. Mm-hmm. She's very much big into sci-fi. For those that don't know, she did the voice of Admiral Ron, Auntie Ron, in Mass Effect 2 and 3.
Yeah.
And she has expressed interest as well. She said, yes, absolutely. I enjoy doing those games. And sometimes, to tell you the truth, the lines I was doing were so familiar to The Expanse. One time while I was taping lines in Toronto during shooting The Expanse, I thought to myself, oh my gosh, these are so similar to my lines from Mass Effect. Everybody laughed because we were trying to tell the same story. She then went on to admit that one of the reasons she loved portraying Admiral Ron in Mass Effect was because she didn't have to wear makeup.
Yeah, that's great.
So, you know, she said, the sky is my limit. I can do whatever I like while recording behind those closed doors without being afraid of being on camera. So, you know, she's big into it, you know, especially for lending her voice. And again, I'll mention the Arcane. She plays Enforcer Grayson, which was great.
She does.
You know, so it's really nice to see that there is some interest from some of the sort of Mass Effect veterans out there. I'm sure if they did go the animated route, you could easily get Jay Hill or Mark Meer on the project as well.
Even if they weren't playing Shepard,
right,
they would still, it would be like an
Easter egg.
It would be like an Easter cookie. I think that's the
I mean
phrase
Mark Meer
forward.
Has also done, he's the one responsible for doing the Vorcha voices, so hey,
correct.
You need to kind of get him in there, you know. I think that like it would be great to see. And again, it's still up in the air. We don't know a whole lot, but I, you know, as I've said strongly, that there's such a big universe to play in that they could easily pull people in with the concept of Mass Effect and their universe and what sets it apart from other sci-fi universes. I mean, people love The Expanse. They love the sci-fi, and that came from a set of novels, right? So you have the means to make something extremely interesting that doesn't just have to be a carbon copy of the video game.
Yeah. I fully agree. You know, you've kind of did the roundup of what actors have shown interest. I think for me, Yes, Ivan Strahovski comes to mind. That's like a whole other hour of a conversation. But honestly, this is probably not surprising to people either, and I'm not about to make an Allie Hillis joke. I would love to see, again, I'm speaking from an animated perspective. Obviously, if this was live action, it would need to be casted differently. But I would love to see Alex Wilson Regan come back as Sam. If Sam were to be in it again, like, let's, you know, like, because again, they could have these characters in it and not have Shepard be part of it. You know, they could easily do something Alliance related and like Sam's there, you know, she's part of the Alliance, even if Shepard's not around. So just like all the little ideas that could happen, like, it would just be great to see some of those familiar names and voices, be brought back. And just to kind of, as I've used this metaphor like six times already, but just to like tie it all together, you know, Lexi, you said earlier that you can do something familiar while taking a risk. If Amazon wants to garner views by giving us something we're familiar with and pulling at our heartstrings and tugging at nostalgia, put the familiar faces into it. You can do that 100% and make it something new while still having us like, oh shit, it's Mass Effect, and not ruining the player experience. You can still do all of that. And I really, really hope that they can capture it.
Yeah. Like I said, you know, whatever it turns out to be, you know, we're all going to watch it. Even if it might be hate watching, I will probably watch it.
Yeah.
Just to give my opinion on it, as I do. But you know, I know, shocking, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I just think, like, and speaking to my experience on social media, I need to learn my lesson and not say things, but then I say things and then people are in my mentions having to mansplain, you know, things to me.
Recently, you showed great restraint.
Listen, I like engaging in debate, and I think, you know, a lot of people don't always want to kind of go with the opinion, like they're not really opinionated one way or another, or they feel very strongly about one thing and don't want to consider other perspectives. But I think, you know, like, one of my experiences on Twitter was commenting that I didn't want to wipe another white male lead. And apparently saying white as a white person myself was a slur. I did not know this. Did you? some white men got real mad at me, a white woman. But anyway, you know, I just think it'd be nice to have someone in a sci-fi action role that isn't the standard sort of thing to see that we see all the time with these gruff guys. Like, it would just be great. You know, but if they, you know, as we may joke, someone did on Reddit a few weeks ago, even before the announcement came about the TV show, someone made a really cool Mass Effect poster, as if it was a movie poster, with Idris Elba as male Shepard. That's on Reddit. I'm sure if you Google it, you'll find it. But I was, you know, I would not complain because that was my who I tried to make my male Shep based off of. So I guess, you know, if they had to pick someone, but again, that's just wish fulfillment.
Yeah, if they had to make Shepard canon, male or female, the only exception I have is Idris Elba, 100%.
I think that should just be, I mean, Idris Elba is just fantastic.
He could be the next Bond. He could be the next
Bond,
anything.
Shepard.
Whatever.
That's just, you know, my in joke there, but
no,
you know,
sure.
I think it's just, again, I do agree with you in that, you know, whoever, if they do have to cast Shepard, that they find someone that is you know,
just the best fit.
You know, and like I said, I would be more in favor of giving someone different a chance. There's lots of people I could think of that would be great as a femme Shep. You know, and again, I always joked and said that, you know, if they do have to show Shepard, like, maybe just show them in, you know, androgynous armor and never have them speak. that could be an option too.
Yeah. There's a game that I was just thinking of where they do that, and I'm blanking. I mean, they do that in a number of games, but I'm blanking. Mm-hmm. Never mind. And move on.
There's just so much that they could do, but if they're gonna say, quote unquote, safe and be boring, then they're gonna cast, you know, some guy who looks like Shep Liu, and they're gonna pick a romance, and they're gonna pick, you know, their poster boy and their poster romance, which I'm not gonna lie, they probably could do Liara, but they might just, for the sake of ease, would probably pick Ash.
They'd pick a human.
Pick a human. you know, and play it safe because this is what quote unquote appeals to people. But, you know, I keep bringing up Arcane. It's living in my head rent free, but, you know, one of the main sort of the main characters is a relationship between two women, and look how many of us sapphics are like glue, like flies on shit to this show.
Yeah,
like, you know, you can find, you know, and people assume that just because you're a marginalized minority group that you don't exist. Oh, buddy, we do. You know, you exist in number, and you come out to support these things because you get to see yourself represented.
Yeah. I think that that conversation in terms of Mass Effect is something that we could talk about at length, and we totally should.
Oh, yeah.
And just to cap that off, I think that the more you make things mainstream, the more people aren't like, ew, why do we want this? Because it's just a thing now. It's just a thing that happens on our TV and nobody cares, like, in a good way. So the opportunity to continue, you know, making things quote normal, because what is normal is there, and just, you know, the end statement here can be like, Mass Effect, while it has its flaws, the games set a precedence for the way that people experience representation and get to be represented, and why shouldn't that continue with a TV show?
Exactly. I do want to throw in there one last thing that I forgot to mention earlier.
She's always got to have the last words, guys.
I really did just forget.
No, I'm kidding.
So David Guider, who is one of the writers for BioWare, formerly, big in Dragon Age, but he actually had a thread about this whole thing where he said that he was relieved to see that the Mass Effect / Amazon deal is a potential for a TV series and not a movie. Even so, the possibility, and likewise for Dragon Age, makes me cringe a little. Unlike many fans who appear excited, let me explain. He goes on talking about how Mass Effect and Dragon Age both have a custom protagonist, which we talked about, and he said, boom, right off the bat, you've just alienated a whole bunch of the built-in fan base who had their hopes up, you know, and secondly, those protagonists are designed to be a bit of a blank slate, one that the player fills out with their decisions. That's not going to work for a passive medium. So suddenly the protagonist will have their own personality and their own story. That will be weird. You know, and he said, you think I'm wrong? Consider just how much of the story is offloaded onto the companions. They are the ciphers through which the player gets most of their emotional engagement from. On their own, the Dragon Age and Mass Effect protagonists are, well, pretty boring. That's not going to fly. And think of those companions. Think of how much the fan base is attached to them. Now consider the fact that there's no way in hell any single story could encompass them all equally. Think of the howls of rage when Companion X is relegated to a cameo or not there at all. Having a TV show instead of a movie allows for more companion options, sure, but consider your own playthrough. Only a handful of them had any meaningful presence in a single game. That will need to be the case for this story to maintain coherence. A few companions, one romance. And that's if the TV show makers consider the companions to be all that important. They might toss most of them aside in favor of the plot. In my mind, that would be a mistake. Both Mass Effect and Dragon Age's plots were, at best, serviceable. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. He continues to say, those plots had to take into account the player's agency. They were kind of the shell upon which that player's emotional engagement was delivered, usually through the companions and the choices themselves. Choice heightened engagement, interactivity was the star, not the plot. And so you take all that out, lose most of the companions, and you potentially end up with a pretty run-of-the-mill fantasy or sci-fi show, one where a lot of built-in audience has possibly been turned into outrage, howling malcontents before it's even released. And he says, all that is, of course, if the Dragon Age or Mass Effect series is mishandled. I can think of any number of ways it could be done better, but that involves doing more than a strict adaptation, and that comes with its own complications. Anyhow, good luck to the showrunners, they'll need it. And then he added an edit to say, I'm seeing responses along the lines of, they could do some story within the Dragon Age or Mass Effect universe and not just the story of the games. That is what I meant by my tweet above. And he goes on just quickly to say, but consider this from the perspective of those making the TV show. They're not making it solely for the fans who already know the entire story and will be fine moving on to something else. The far larger audience are those who know nothing about Mass Effect or Dragon Age at all. And so at some level, this TV series needs to answer the question, what is Mass Effect? And that means making something that is recognizably Mass Effect. It means retreading the ground in a way that fans don't need and will likely react poorly to. Maybe. I guess we'll see. And, you know, I don't like David Guider a lot because he said some shit in the past, but that's pretty much what we've talked about. But I wanted to bring that thread in because I think he summed it up really well.
Sure. That's a great summary. And I think it goes back to what you're saying about, like, both how to make things familiar and how to make things risky. And to the person who you were speaking with in my Discord server yesterday about like casting a shepherd, I also think broadly what that person was talking about, aside from, you know, the race of the cast, would be how do you make a show, just like he's saying, David Gator, is that his name?
Yeah, David Gator.
What he's saying is, how do you make a show that people know nothing about interesting?
Mm-hmm.
And that is where the crux of the matter comes from. So we could sit here all day and be like, yeah, story about that NPC who you see twice would be really, really interesting. Yeah, because we played the game and we understand it. Mm-hmm. So the delicate balance is going to come from, how do we make a game about Mass Effect that's going to attract people? Because the original trilogy is attractive. It's a good story for all of the reasons it's a good story. It's because of the plot and the characters and the whole thing. So, you know, Lexi and I have given our thoughts about, as big fans of the show, what we would like to see and what we wouldn't like to see. But
fans of the game, you mean?
Yeah, thank you. Fans of the game. But what? But really, you know, and we're doing this right at the end here, but really what matters is what fans of what people who, what's going to start again? What people, really what matters is what people who don't know anything about Mass Effect would find interesting.
And, absolutely.
And that's where Amazon's going to have to step up their game.
So, absolutely. Yeah. Right. And I mean, right now we have very little information, so I'm sure when we get more news, we'll do another episode about this
below
with the update.
Even less than any information, it's just like a pursuit. They haven't even
they haven't sealed the deal.
It. Yeah. So. And I've, as a TV fan, there's been a lot of different series that I've like heard about, like, oh, we're going to do this. And then it never happens anyway. So we could be talking a lot of hot air, which is typical when I speak. And so, yeah, but
never.
Yeah. Well, maybe. Cool. Lexi, thank you so much.
Obviously. We love doing this show.
We love doing this show.
Shout out to our viewers. I know some of you guys have like binged our episodes lately. That is amazing. I love you guys.
That's
phenomenal.
Is unreal. You're the real ones. And so are the ones who have been listening the whole time.
Oh, of course. Of, but the ones who can manage to sit and listen to us two talk for hours on end, gotta hand it to you.
Listen.
Gotta hand it to you.
I don't know how you guys do it, but thank you for doing it.
Yeah.
If you liked this podcast, please rate, like, and comment on your platform of choice. To show further support, you can follow us on Twitch, Twitter, and subscribe to our channels on YouTube. Everything discussed today will be archived on the Broker's Terminal. After all the galaxy secrets are at the Shadow Broker's fingertips.